not make that decision. Give her option and said, at 105, there will be job losses. There will be more job, losses at higher than 105. Now, the intention of the department is for Netflix to start deliberation on where as a country do we want to take the agricultural sector. We're going to look at this issue. The National Planning Commission report talk about jobs that can be created in the cultural sector if certain things are done. And at the same time talk about decent work. Now, we've got as a country to start to sit down and have a conversation where we want to take this sector. And what is it that needs to be done to create jobs in this sector? And that's the intention of taking this together, to start that conversation. But that conversation cannot be that jobs can be created in this sector only at 69 times a day. Maybe when we start looking at what areas of the sector do we want to specialize in, which areas are more profitable and likely to create jobs, we might be able to accept that some areas might lose. They create lesser jobs, they might not be able to compete at a certain level. If that's the case, we might have to accept that. But let us look at the sector and say which areas. Let us either look at the Planning Commission report, which sectors are they saying could create jobs. And then remember, their report does not say that those jobs should not be created at 69 rand. It's got to be different job, it's got to be jobs that people are able to live. Therefore, it's a challenge for all of us. We hope that trade unions, the farmers are going to come to the party when that conversation starts. And that's what the minister indicated when she launched this report. On the issue of wage subsidy, the members would know that whether you call it wage subsidy, whether you call it youth subsidy, that discussion is still about to take place. The president in the State of the Nation has indicated that national parties must discuss and agree the margin agreement that is here. If that agreement is reached, then we could use that agreement and those subsidies to deal with this issue. Other subsidies that are available through Department of Trade and Industry and all the institutions that are there, farmers need to apply themselves first. And when they do make those applications, it is going to assist. And they do give the information to us that we've applied, we might be able to have a discussion with our colleagues. All of that depends on us building a better relationship in the sector. Between farmers, the department, and the market. And we hope that the next process is going to assist in doing that. I've dealt with the issue of, are there any guarantees, what will happen in 3 years in this sector regulation? What we can guarantee members here upfront is that the minister and this government won't do anything that is outside the law. That we can guarantee. But we can't guarantee that there will not be no change at all between now and the 3 years. We hope that we want stability, but we can't make that guarantee. You never know what might happen. The Americans might do what they do best. They crash all of us and it causes the thing, and we give this guarantee here. We come back a year later and say, no, things have drastically changed, and then the member says, you lie. Honorable members, and that will cost our jobs. That we can't guarantee, what we can guarantee is that the minister and the department would do nothing that is outside the law. And the law says the minister can only relook at the sector situation after 12 months. On the issue of work permits, there's an issue that we should refuse all work permits. The first thing that we need to clarify here is that the Department of Labor does not grant work permits. The Department of Home Affairs can grant work permits. Our responsibility is to indicate to Home Affairs and say there is labor available for what is being applied. If you apply for architects who come and work in South Africa, you say they are not architects. It's our responsibility to say they are and show them where they are. And we come here and we say, on the basis of the availability of that labor, we don't think that it's in the interest of the country that you grant that service. That's what we do. But the decision is the Department of Home Affairs' decision is in terms of their legislation. Ours is to advise them on the availability of labor. And we will advise them in this application also accordingly. We'll consider the application, what is it that we want to bring in, and advise them accordingly. But the decision is there. But therefore, we can't refuse anything because we don't have authority to refuse anything. We've got authority to advise and recommend, and we will do that. The question about whether I will deal with this on the surface, not dealing with the real causes in terms of this, I think that the debate that we are going to have at NetNet on this report is going to indicate that, that we would want a permanent solution to the issues that we are dealing with. The issue of the VFA medical report, the report did not recommend anything. The report put options on the table. And esteemed members of the committee considered the options that were put on the table. The report put consequences on the options that were put on the table. And the report is here, it does indicate that there will be job losses. But there's no doubt about that. But the committee, which is made up of esteemed members, we need also to explain this. The committee is not made up by labor and business only. It's made by labor, one rep of labor, one rep of business. The other three are all independent professors. The chairperson is a professor from UCT. The other one is a professor from University of KZN. The other one is a professor from the University of Nelson Mandela and Cotiza. And then in Cotiza. Therefore, it's not as if that business and labor matters agree. And in fact, business did not agree with the 105. So business perhaps did not agree with the 105. Now, the question is, how did the committee, when the report says that the job losses is at 105, take a decision to say 105? That's the question that the members are asking. And the answer to that is this. The law says the committee must consider two things. It must consider the ability of the employer to do business, in this case the farmer. Will the farmer be able to do business at 105? It must consider whether the level that they are putting is taking workers out of poverty. We must balance those two issues. The ability of the business to do business, the ability of workers to go to be able to go out of poverty in whatever level that is. And then the commission said, what are the choices that we've got? At 105, yes, we accept that the job loss is. 105 is not taking workers out of poverty. If we want to take workers out of poverty, we've got to go to about 300 families a day. And the committee said, let's go for 105, although there's the job losses, because the committee said, we can't set a level on the basis of the weakest. If we set a level at 169, because the worst farm can pay 169 rand, and we set a level at 165, so that even those that, because the report says at 105, there are sectors that are not able to pay. Even those sectors that are able to pay, if you set it at 69, are going to pay 69. But if you set it at 105, those sectors that are struggling, there are the avenues in the law. That's the thing in the commission. That says, we've got an option here. We can set it to the lowest economic factor. Or we can set it at a reasonable level, knowing that that will affect employment, But because there are options in the law, those that are struggling can come and apply for exemption. Therefore, we are comfortable with letting in 105. And the commission said 105 is not going to take workers out of poverty, but it's going a big way towards that. It's going to take us years for us to take workers who are working the farm out of poverty. It's going to take many, many more years. And the strike that the commission has made now is taking us towards that. And that is the thinking. That's what the commission thought. They said that they have the option. The option is to set the level at the lowest level and then look at the most struggling farming sector and say they can succeed in 169 rand, they're going to set it to 69 rand. And the result of that would be that everybody, majority, we have farmers say more, but the majority will be at 69 rand. And the result of that, we would not be meeting our requirements in terms of the law of taking workers out of poverty. And then the commission said, what other option is there? They said, the other option is to set it at higher, accepting that there is job losses, but are there avenues to do the same? And they said, yes, there are avenues. Those farmers who are sincere, who want to pay 105, but are not able to pay it because of the profitability of their farm, they can apply for exemption, and the process is accepted. And that's the thinking. That's how the commission reached 105. It's not because there was a recommendation for 105, because that report does say that there will be job losses, even 105. I think Chief Father of the members have dealt with all the questions. One issue we think possible, my colleague from the Western Cape can deal with, is the issue of inspection. And there is a question that is linked to inspection here. Since they are dealing with inspection. Although he's not going to be speaking for the whole of the country, but he's in charge of inspection, he might indicate what are the steps and the strides that they are taking to ensure compliance with the regulations.
Just
one
question.
Just
one from the report.
Chairperson,
question that I asked earlier on is not going to be answered. Everybody pretends with their shining faces as if nothing exists. I know. It's not for the first time. But everybody pretends. My question is, can someone very briefly just say in two words, maybe, if you feel like making us a favor, in two words, what are the material conditions that compels us to retrench workers in this sector, in particular, in those thinking? What are those material conditions? Very briefly, just to bring us on board.
No, my question is, I've got only one question. I don't know whether the department is being able to answer it. The Minister of Agriculture, I listened to her from the FAFM. She said that when you come with rules, determination, she said her department is going to assist to make sure that the farmers remain profitable. Has she approached, has her department or herself approached the department? Because you could not, somebody tried to get her to say how. She said she hasn't yet, she doesn't yet know why she was making that pronouncement. So I just wanted to check whether she has approached the department to find out about, or whether there is a discussion between her department and this department to make sure that the agricultural, the farmers remain profitable, because I don't understand that.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Chief Minister, Mr. Kalikia said that there is the option of farmers to cross the exemption, which obviously said we don't want that, but in some cases to put their jobs. My question is, can you assure us that the department will be able to deal with those applications within reasonable time, let's say 30 days, because we've had numerous complaints where people have applied for exemption through the bargaining councils, that process has been a lengthy one. Do you have the capacity, or will you create the capacity?
Thank you.
time, but it depends. But expeditiously as possible. You may do it in 2 days, because all of the information is there. You may be on 3 days because it's upstream information. But of course, we will endeavor to deal with it as quickly as possible. I'm not aware that the Minister of Agriculture has made engagements specifically on the issue of
transportation. I also wanted to add, in terms of our invasive and my own side of the chain, I also put regarding the flavor. I think I'm understanding the Minister of Agriculture to be talking about the broader processes which her department initiated to deal with the issues in the agricultural sector. Chair, you will recall that I think in 2010 there was a summit, the national summit, which was held in the Stellenbosch, where the Department of Agriculture actually was coordinating that summit. The summit actually had to deal or was dealing or was looking at trying to find solutions to the broader issues which are actually problematic in the agricultural sector, looking at the living conditions, looking at the health issues with the agricultural, the housing, looking at the accessibility, organization, and all of that kind of stuff. The conclusion during that summit was that when there was a process that all countries should commit themselves and through a process that they would engage further on the issue, these several states were not actually ready to commit themselves, and then hence the summit could not continue, or there was no resolution which was adopted apart from the issues which were put forward by labor and which farmers have actually raised. And subsequent to that, Chair, we have been engaging with the Department of Agriculture and other role players within the agricultural sector in actually trying to deal with the issues for the resolutions which were adopted at the study. And I also need to indicate that it has been also a frustrating process, because the very people who were actually expect to be party to that kind of a forum, you know, to participate and to take some of the causes forward, especially things which are actually not there visible in that forum. So I'm just, you know, trying to indicate that I think some of these frustrations which workers, you know, try to or show now, not because of maybe some of the of the Western case situation, for example, but those are some of the issues which have been there in the sector, and we know about these issues, both as government and as the next people. Thank you.
Just two questions that I did, Mr. Chair, to summarize this now. Just also to add on what my colleague is saying, that the deliberation that we are going to have at NADLEC will include all other government departments that could assist in this, including the Department of Agriculture. If the Minister of Agriculture has said that he will do what he said, he coded to be said, then in that I would want to see the color of the money in that evaluation. Or if it's not money, whatever she meant about that, many of these will come up in that discussion. And in that discussion, we're going to have the people dealing with the National Planning Commission also part of that discussion. Therefore, it's got to involve all the parties that will have them in and including the Minister of Agriculture. The what assistance are we giving to labor to organize? I think we need to be very careful about this. We have the Department of Labor. With the competition between trade themselves, there are many trade unions in this sector organizing. We wouldn't want to be seen to be assisting one of them to get upper hand in the other. But what we've done so far, we commission a research, we look at that research, we spend money to commission a research. A research to look at what is it that prevents from developing organization in the agriculture sector. What is the best approach to do to assist in organizing agriculture? And would want to take that, those results, research results, discuss it with all the trade unions that are involved in the sector, and say, this is what the research says, this is what the research says, are the best strategy that you need to apply for you to be able to build organizations and leave it to trade unions to build organizations. I think the trade unions are going to say the biggest problem about organizing in the public sector is resources. You need deep pockets to be able to organize in the public sector because of the distances. I mean, they are not all like the Western Cape here. They are around town and all that. You know, if you go to the farms, there are areas that I know in South China. You got one farm here, you got another farm, and then how bad, you know, very far from each other, to organize in that environment. And remember, workers must pay for that with the kind of wages that farm workers are earning. Going to be able to sustain. And we saw one of the unions in the food industry saying that they are giving R1 million to farm workers to assist in organizing. That kind of solidarity from other unions will assist also. But the resources are the most important thing that is preventing organization in the public sector. The issue of how do we determine a representativity when 1.7% has got a mandate and then others not have a mandate. Well, representativity and organization are not based. The fact that you are able to say you do not have a mandate, it means you've gone through your organization, you've discussed it, the organization says, don't put anything on the table. They are not saying that they have not discussed it with their members. They are saying their members have said that we should not put anything, we don't have a mandate to negotiate on this issue of anybody. That is not a sign of a non-organization. That's how we do it. The second thing is that we look on organization on the basis of the strength of members that are there. When you look on the number of farmers that are there in the country and the strength of the different organizations of farm owners, they are far stronger than. And when farm owners, when the farm organization said to us that they do not have a mandate, they are not prepared to put anything on the table. In each and every public hearing that we went through, that's what the farm owners themselves in the meetings were saying. They were saying exactly what agriculture sector was saying, they were saying exactly what town was saying and the other. That is a sign of organization in terms of position. Therefore, that's how we base, and we know in terms of the figures that we're receiving, that trade union density in the public sector is very low. On the issue of difficult questions, what are the conditions that force employers to retrench? Well, I'm a civil servant, so I'm not a businessman, but I'm assuming that your profitability decides whether you want to retrench or not in any organization. If you look on your balance sheet and you see your condition tracking, one of the options that you take is to take a decision to retrench. And I think that.
Add one more point, Jefferson, just on this issue of unionization of the farm workers. I think it should be accepted by the agricultural employers that it's in their interest to have unionization of workers. Not for the issue just of talking about wages, talking about the state of the sector. In the industrial sectors, you have where bargaining councils are discussing industrial policy issues, and it's important that given the nature of the agricultural sector that you have organization on both sides. But what frustrates also unionization is access to funds, just like our inspectors have a problem with access to funds. I've personally been to farms where the gates are locked, and when you phone a farmer, then they don't open the gates. He said, but why didn't you talk to every Western Cape or every Northern Cape before you come here? So even inspectors have difficulty to access farms. Now, it's even going to be worse for trade union organizers to have access to the farm. So, but farmers must accept this. They are organized, and you need an organized partner on the other side. if you want to talk about the future of the sector, if you want to talk about the challenges that the sector faces and how to take it forward. It can't be just Agri SA or SA going to the government and making representations on the state of the sector. It's got to be them with the representatives of their workers. So farmers must be more open to allow unionization of their workers, which up to now has not been the case. The farmers refuse point blank for trading organization of their workers. In their interest is that they can work together as a sector to discuss the policy issues affecting the sector and how to move forward.
Thank you. comes in South Africa, it can only weaken our trade internationally. There were instances with the Human Rights March report, where people were saying, why can't we think about boycotting?